I'm going to try to teach you something this morning that you desperately need to know, desperately need to know. You say, everybody knows what you're going to say. No, they don't. This truth that I'm going to bring out this morning, amazingly, people ignore it and deny it. And I hate to say it, it changes their outcome. So as we do this, I want you to say, God, open my eyes that I may see this morning. That I may see it. Take your Bibles to Psalm chapter 49. Psalm chapter 49. I'm going to read down through verse 15. Actually, I'm going to start at verse 6. I'll start at verse 6 and read through 15. They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, are there those people? Absolutely. None of them can by any means redeem his brother nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious and it ceaseth forever. That he should live, still live forever and not see corruption. So it's what it's saying is people that are trusting in their wealth or trusting in their riches are confident somehow they're going to make it on the other side without corruption. Verse 10, he seeth, this person that we're talking about, this person that trusts in their wealth, he seeth that the wise men die. Likewise, the fool and the brutish person perish and leave their wealth to others. I've talked about that through the years, how everything you count as precious, you're going to leave. I mean, everything. My dad was in hospice getting ready to die, and he gave me his wallet. Now, if you knew anything about my dad, if as a kid, if you ever got in my dad's wallet, you got a whooping. I mean, a whooping, not a whipping, a whooping. I mean, you did not touch my dad's wallet. It was sacred. And I remember when he got in there and handed me his wallet, I knew he was going over to the other side. Even his wallet, with that lot of precious memorabilia in it, not much money, but he knew he was going to leave his wealth to others. However, their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever and their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. Absolutely they do. If you look at Barron Collier and know anything about Collier County and how it got its name, it's after Barron Collier. He put his name on the county. Nevertheless, it says in verse 12, a man being in honor abideth not. He is like the beasts that perish. This their way is their folly, and yet their posterity approve their sayings. Verse 14 and 15 are the key thoughts we want to dwell on. Like sheep, they are laid in the grave. Death shall feed on them, and the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning. That's the title, in the morning. In the morning in the Bible can refer to the resurrection time. In the morning. Time of waking up. And their beauty, and it's talking about these people who trust in their riches or trust in something other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Their beauty shall consume in the grave from their dwelling. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. Not long after you come into self-consciousness as a young child, you begin to understand the temporary state of life. At least you should be able to. I remember my first exposure to death was at about age 9 years old. My grandfather, on my mom's side, her daddy died. Those were the Hartmans by name. He had worked most of his life on the railroad, retired 1 year, got cancer, got sick, and died within that year. I love my grandpa Hartman. He was a skilled man, about 225 pounds. He died at about 80 pounds. And we went to his funeral. The first funeral I'd ever been to, 9-year-old kid. I walked over to the casket, which was open, and I recognized him, barely. You understand, that's a lot of weight loss. He looked like he was sleeping. I reached out, as kids do. Nobody was watching me. They should have been watching me better. I touched his hand, which was crossed over the other one, and immediately I pulled my hand back, aghast that when I touched him, instead of his skin being warm and soft, it was hard and cold. I started staring at him and looking at him a little bit closer. I noticed he was not moving. We don't really understand that we're all moving. You're breathing, you're moving, you're animated. And when you die, there's something you notice about a dead person is they're not moving. They're totally still. Absolutely still. Like any kid, I reached out, touched his lip, his face, when nobody was looking. I jerked back my hand because his lip was hard, his face was hard. There was something about him that just was not the same. It was not Grandpa Hartman that I knew him. There was something I sensed as a 9-year-old kid was different about him. Something was missing. I came to the conclusion that he actually was gone, that the person I knew was gone. The body I was looking at was empty and absent from a living soul. Now, that's a 9-year-old perception. It's instinctive. I'm not sure how I perceive that. But too many times from there to here, I've perceived that same thing too many times to deny it. My grandfather, Papa John Lytell, on my dad's side, his dad died. Before he died, he was in the hospital in somewhat of a coma. His 8 kids gathered around the bed. There was a lot of people in the room. I was young, you know, 14 years old at this time. I was out by the door, the entrance in and out of the room. I stood by the door leaning against it. I didn't want to get too close. I could see him laying in bed there. I recognized him. He was breathing heavily and labored breathing. And all of a sudden, I felt a room fill up. How do I explain that? It was almost like the room was crowded all of a sudden. I'm talking about, the feeling was so specific, I felt like I was being pushed out of the room. Just at that second, he opened his eyes, lifted his head up, took a look from left to right at us, dropped his head back down on the pillow, quit breathing. At the second his head hit that pillow, that feeling of fullness, that feeling of crowdedness was gone. The room was empty. What happened? I personally know the Bible says the angels come and gather the dead. I somehow believe that the angels of God entered into that room, gathered him up, and took him out, and I felt the coming and the going of that. I'm talking a 14-year-old kid. Didn't know much theology. But now I understand it much clearer what happened. It does not take long in life to realize that we are temporary and just passing through. I think along this path of life, you see grandparents, parents, if you live long enough, friends, acquaintances, movie stars, political figures, preachers, teachers, neighbors, die. There's somehow a strange mechanism within us. Even though we see all those people die and know that they've died, somehow we do not think that it's going to happen to us. We verbalize it's going to happen to us. But experientially, you have trouble accepting that. Somehow you feel that you're always going to be an observer of it, but maybe not included in it. How do I know that? Well, I've been to quite a few automobile accidents, fatal, serious, head-on collisions, awful stuff. And I've gone in there and tried to rescue people out of their cars, and indeed have rescued some people out of their cars. Held somebody's broken neck till the paramedics got there. And then when they would wake up after the impact, they would begin to find out the situation they were in, and they would begin to say, this is strange. They'd say, I can't believe it's happening to me. I can't believe it's happening to me. That means they somehow had this idea that it was going to happen to somebody else. Even though they may have verbalized that they knew it was going to happen to them, they still didn't grasp the actual experience that this thing called death was coming for them, and it was happening to them at that moment. The Bible's true. The Bible says that, and it's true. In Psalm 103, verse 15, it says, as for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it's gone. And the place thereof shall know it no more. Whereas you know not what shall be tomorrow, James chapter 4, verse 14. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. For what is your life? This is deep Bible truth. It is a vapor. It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. There's evidence all around us of the transientness, the temporalness of life. Still, men do not prepare themselves for their passing in this life. I talked to Dr. Bailey quite a bit. He's a cardiologist. He sees a lot of people on the end of life. You know, they're having heart trouble, blockage, and various things. And he doesn't mention anybody specifically, and he doesn't violate the HIPAA law. But he tells me he can't believe how somebody 90-some years old with a bad heart blockage that at any moment could drop over, how they're unprepared to die. How can you be unprepared to die? How can you have witnessed the transientness of life, that it's like a vapor that appears for a little while and is gone? How is it that you've seen your relatives die? You've been to their funerals. Your friends die. Starting in high school, my friends got killed. Vietnam. And somehow you don't put it to you. You don't put 2 + 2 = 4. How'd you get here? God created you and put you here. And he requires something of you. He sent his only begotten son on the old rugged cross to pay for your sins so he could have fellowship with you. And so you, by the grace of God through Jesus, could go to heaven. And you don't prepare. How many people, they never go to church, they never read their Bible? How many never read their Bible? Big majority. I mean, they even go to church and don't read their Bible. The first thing you want to do is you want to get in that book, read the New Testament through a few times, read the Gospel of John a few times. Get a grip on what's going to happen after death. There's no more authoritative book on earth than the Bible. None. Not even close. None of the other holy books hold a candle to the Bible in amount of printing and an amount of distribution and how it's been attacked and yet has remained solid. And better, and by the way, still the best seller, the old King James Bible. In Psalm 49:6, it says, they trust in their wealth. Oh, I don't trust in my wealth. Really? That CD in the bank or those properties you own or the pieces of stock of a business gives you some sort of idea that you have security. There's a heart in each of us pumping blood at a certain pressure, pumping against the resistance of your capillaries and resistance of your aorta and and all that other stuff. And it's trying to break out. If just one of those little capillaries in your cerebral cortex in the back of your head here breaks, you're gone. If you get an aneurysm that you don't even know you have, could be right now, you're sitting in a chair and that thing's over 4.5 centimeters and it's ready to, it's paper thin and it's ready to break and your heart's pumping, every pump pumping against it, pumping against it. You're on the edge of eternity and somehow you think you're not. There's nobody in this room can tell me they're going to be around tomorrow with a surety. But you live like you're never going to die. You live like you're never going to face God and answer for the things done in the body, whether it be good or bad, and that's Bible. I'm your best friend you ever had. For I'm telling you what the Bible says about eternity. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. You don't have to perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 10 of chapter 49 of Psalms says, he seeth the wise man die, likewise the fool and the brutish person, and they leave their wealth to others, but somehow they don't believe it's going to happen to them. How many people do I have to see die and their kids don't even want their stuff? They bring their goodwill. They hire a goodwill. I got junk. Have you ever seen that advertised? I got junk. They hire that old boy to come in there and take everything out of the house. I don't want to see it. I mean, there's precious walling paintings in that house. You see them sold the goodwill for $2. Buy them. In vain, they attempt for immortality. They name things after themselves. Verse 11, they call their lands after their own names. All that's going to be gone. If you die, nobody will even come to your grave and I'm going to be generous to you. Nobody will come to your grave in 50 years. The truth of the matter is 5 years. When's the last time you've been to your mom and dad's grave? When's the last time you've been to your grandpa and grandma's grave? Are their headstones all overgrown? You can't even read the names on them? That's a way of life. Things pass on. I know this is a cheery sermon. But I'm telling you, it's going to be happy in the morning. The rich and the powerful of this world usually are the lost people, which are assumed in this psalm. Oftentimes they have historically oppressed people that want to be right with God. Biblically, we know that. James chapter 2, verse 6. But ye have despised the poor. Do not the rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do they not blaspheme that worthy name in which ye are called? If you look around at Venezuela and Iran and Cuba, what's one of the first things those people do when they get in power? They oppress the free exercise of religion. They take all the guns away from the people. And then they stop them from doing anything unless they approve of it. They oppress. That's the rich. But dear one, there's coming a day which we shall have dominion over them in the morning. The resurrection time. Bible says their beauty shall consume in the grave. I thought about that a little bit. How many here remember Jane Mansfield? Come on, you old timers. How about, here's another one. Marilyn Monroe. Here's another one. Farrah Fawcett. See, a lot of you didn't raise your hand that are in their 20s. They have no clue about those people already. They're forgotten. What do you think Jane Mansfield looks like now? What do you think Marilyn Monroe looks like now? Where do you think that beautiful blonde hair of Farrah Fawcett, what do you think it looks like now? It's the Bible. It's transient. You got it for a few years. You can have it and enjoy it. God will let you do that. But eventually he calls you short and calls you home. Are you ready to meet God this morning? Our billboard has a huge John 3:16 on it. And underneath it, it says, are you ready to meet God? What a question. According to Psalm 49, people are not ready to meet God. They're messing around thinking they're going to be okay, thinking it's going to be somebody else that has the trouble, somebody else that dies, somebody else that loses everything. The righteous child of God, the born-again believer in the Lord Jesus, is going to do nothing but get better with time. You hear that? Get better with time. We'll shine according to this 12th chapter of the book of Daniel. They that turn many to righteousness shall shine as the stars of heaven. Things for the born-again believer that trust Jesus, instead of trusting in their riches, they trust in the Lord Jesus. Things just get better and better and better. Or if you look around in this world, it says in Psalm 73, it would be a good idea sometime to look Psalm 73, read it carefully, slowly. The psalmist is upset about the prosperity of the rich in this world and about the affliction of the righteous in this world oftentimes. He says, for there's no bands in their death, talking about the rich, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride compasseth them about as a chain, violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. The Christian, however, is often in trouble, persecuted, going under chastenings and hardships. But do not be discouraged, born again believer. For we'll have dominion over them in the morning. Not long down the road, God's going to show who's right and who's wrong. He's going to show who are his and who are not. The real game is not this life. This is pre-game. The real game is eternity, something that lasts forever. And I've said this over and over again here. If what you have you cannot keep, is it really yours? Or are you just loaned what you have? You just have been loaned by God what you have. And I'm talking about not just your car and your house. Or I'm talking about your body, your mind, everything that God has given you in this life. It's really not something to keep because it's not eternal. The only thing eternal in this room is this Bible and your soul. And the message this morning is, are you ready to meet God this morning, dear one? Are you? Have you made preparations? Oh, born again believer, if you're depressed, morning's coming. If you're discouraged this morning, morning is coming. If you're frustrated, morning is coming. If you're defeated today, morning is coming. Trust in God with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, how do you like that? That's even fleeting. My memory's fleeting. Amen? How many would say amen to that? How many here this morning know who you are? It gets that bad. God humbles us on the way. You know, I would tell my wife, we're crying on the way in, we're crying on the way out, but we won't be crying in the resurrection. You'll be trusting him all the way home. You'll be glad you trusted Christ in the morning. Oh, what a day that will be when Jesus we shall see. When we look upon his face and we sing Amazing Grace. What a day that will be. Father in heaven, thank you this morning for the Bible. Thank you for Psalm 49. It's clarity.
If you would like to know more about the Lord Jesus Christ, you may contact us at the church website, gospelbaptistchurch.com, Or you can go to Facebook and type in Gospel Baptist Church, Bonita Springs, Florida. Also, you could call the church office at 239-947-1285. Thank you, and God bless.